me hear again a few of the verses from the appointed reading of Jeremiah 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? In the name of Jesus. Is it the message of our generation that we are to follow our own hearts? That's where happiness is found, we're told. Your heart, that's the authentic you. Your mind might be cold and calculating, but your heart, that's where you find the real you. Follow your heart. Gladys Knight, for those of us a few years old, sang of every beat of her heart. She wanted to return to the things of her heart, to family, to country, to those she left behind. And now, with every beat of her heart, she wants to go back home. But the heart, we know, can be difficult. Tony Bennett's heart fell in love and ended up left in San Francisco, whatever that means. Maybe Hank Williams has it more right. He sings of the heart as being a liar. Your cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep, but sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you. But then Oprah Winfrey says, trust your heart and success will come to you. Are we to listen to the heart? This can be a practical question. There are times when we know that we should and times when we know we should not. Should we spend our time to plant a beautiful garden of flowers, maybe, or spend that same time to instead go to a nice concert? Follow your heart. Enjoy the Lord's gifts. Do that which brings joy to you and your family. Go, eat your bread with joy, says Solomon. Drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Ecclesiastes 9:7. Follow your heart. Yet, Scripture says, the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intention and the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Genesis 6:4. Listen to the heart. Jesus said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, Matthew 15:19. Our hearts, they're not to be trusted. Heart, this refers not to just our emotions and feelings, our passions. This is also our thoughts and desires. It is our will. When we are contemplating how we will stand before God, our heart is not a trustworthy witness. Our heart deceives us into desire for things our Lord has not given us as gift, deceives us into passion to build up and justify ourselves, deceiving us into turning from our Lord's word and instead living in a despair as we fail to hear God's word of grace. God speaks a word of grace. Our heart deceives us into thinking it's not God's word, but we must call him into our heart. Do not listen to the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hope, says Jeremiah. They speak the vision of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord, Jeremiah 23:16. These false prophets, Jeremiah tells us, tempt us to turn from the Lord's word and to instead turn to feelings within ourselves that everything will go well for us if we just make the right choices. Jeremiah 23:17 shows that. How long will there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, says the Lord, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams they tell one another, Jeremiah 23:26. The Lord grabs us, jerks us back from the trap of finding salvation in our own hearts, from the trap of looking into our hearts for any confidence or certainty before God, from the trap of listening to anyone who would be so arrogant as to tell us that we should listen to what has been laid upon their heart. We will not know God's word by what we pull out of the same hearts that Jesus says are full of envy, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, the things that defile a man. But the Lord has a heart. The Lord has a will and intention of his own. He speaks of things he loves, of his own passions and desires, of his own thoughts and mind and will. The triune God, this conversation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the mind of God is there spoken. The passions and love of God are made known. The intentions and will of God is determined. This conversation, this heart of God, pertains to the sinner here on earth. It pertains to you and me and our children. And while you and I will never know the heart of God by following our own hearts, for our hearts are, as Hank Williams might put it, cheating, as out of our hearts flow every evil, passion, and thought, as Jesus puts it, we will know the heart of God as he reveals it to us. He reveals it in his word. In the Old Testament, our Lord was kindly revealing that word to his people as he had the prophets, the true prophets, speak the word of his counsel, Jeremiah 23, 22. But if they had stood in my counsel, said the Lord, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. So that's the difference between a false prophet and the true. A false prophet speaks the word which he says has been laid on his heart. The true prophet speaks the opposite, the word spoken from the mouth of God in his counsel. A false prophet looks inside himself for the truth. The true prophet looks outside of himself to what the Lord is giving. The word which you hear from me, says Jesus, it is not my word, but the Father's who sent me, John 14, 24. The Father speaks words to his Son. This is the Trinitarian conversation, the eternal conversation between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son becomes flesh and dwells among us from that conversation. He, Jesus, then, is our prophet. Jesus hears words from his Father, and he receives them, he says, as gift. Then Jesus speaks these words to us as gift. These are the words which overcome and destroy the words and the thoughts of our hearts. If we think in our hearts that we can improve ourselves and make ourselves worthy, Jesus destroys our false confidence by speaking the law to us to say, out of the heart proceed all evil thoughts which defile a man. And then Jesus brings to us the conversation from outside of ourselves, from the council chamber of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this conversation reveals the heart of God. Jesus shows us the heart of God this morning. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have given the holy name to little Theodore. Theodore is a Greek name meaning simply gift of God. And God in heaven gives no greater gift on earth than to give baptism to a sinner, to save the sinner from his own heart. For the power, work, benefit, fruit, and purpose of baptism is this: to save. 1 Peter 3:21. As the Large Catechism puts it, no one is baptized in order to become a prince, but as the words say, to be saved. To be saved is nothing other than to be delivered from sin, death, and the devil. Colossians 1:14. Baptism means to enter into Christ's kingdom, John 3:5, and to live with him forever. This is the heart of God, which overcomes our hearts and gives gifts to the sinner. He saves the sinner. He makes us his own. We will never know this from our own hearts, from which come evil of every kind. We will know it from the Word of God, from the voice God speaks to us in baptism, from the conversation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit brought to us by the Son, who redeemed with his own blood sinners. We will know it as the Holy Spirit brings to us the words of Jesus in the gospel. And by those words, he, the Holy Spirit, is forgiving our sins, is calling us his own, and cleansing our hearts. In the name of Jesus, amen.